I'm going to start this morning a little bit differently. If you want to turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to Psalm 107, or if not, it'll be up on the screen here in just a moment. Actually, for what we're doing, that might be a better solution so that we're all on the same page. But we're looking at Psalm 107. It's part of the Psalter. It was part of the Hebrew songbook, which meant that for this part of the services, when the Psalms were read in early worship, it wasn't that they were read by the person up front. This was part of the worship service where everyone participated. So this morning, as we read our scripture, I would like for us to all read our scripture together. So as you're able, will you stand together and join us as we read? And just kind of en masse, a rhythm will come to us as we get through it. But let's read together the first 15 verses of Psalm 107, where the Word of God says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands,
from the east
and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul, and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Let's pray. Lord, we give You thanks for Your Word today. Lord, we know that every bit of Your Word is truth. Lord, challenge us by Your Word today. Convict us. Encourage us, build us up, whatever is needful for Your people today, that we would be a thankful people, giving praise and honor and glory unto You. Lord, have Your way among us today, we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of you are ready for Thursday?
Yeah, we
look forward to the Thanksgiving holiday, not just because of the food. I mean, you can look at me and know that the food is a highlight for my holiday, okay? But really, we can eat anytime. It's the opportunity that we have to gather with friends and family and to know that we have a rest, a holiday from our labors, a chance to really focus in on the ways that God has been good to us. It's a wonderful holiday, isn't it? Thanksgiving. But the thing I want to challenge us with today, and Lord willing, I'll actually be more brief than normal. And I know some of y'all are saying, "I'll believe it when I see it." But Lord willing, I'll be a little more brief today. But I want to challenge us with this, that Thanksgiving, as much as we look to the fourth Thursday in Thanksgiving and look at that as a holiday, we need to understand that Thanksgiving for the people of God is more than just a holiday. Thanksgiving for the people of God should be a way of life. It should be a mindset that permeates all that we are and all that we do. And so if we look forward to Thanksgiving as, well, that's our chance to finally express our thanks, then we're getting it wrong. We're doing a disservice to ourselves, and we're not honoring the Lord. I'm glad that we have that day set aside in America. But we need to understand, as the people of God, that Thanksgiving is more than a holiday. Are we thankful at all times? We should be. I mean, after all, we read in Scripture that it's by the mercies of God that we're not consumed. Every day that we wake up to see another day, that means that God has not consumed us in His just wrath for our sin. Are you thankful for the mercy that God gave you in allowing you to open your eyes this morning? And sometimes, and of course, I say that, being blessed to have the good health to stand up here and walk around and talk. But truth be told, even for our brothers and sisters that are at home, bedbound or homebound, the fact that they are awake and able to see another day is the mercy of God. Are we thankful? It's real easy to fall into this fleshly mindset of complaining about the things that don't go our way, isn't it? It's real easy to, when the paycheck seems a little bit shorter than the month, to think about, oh, how much I should have. Or the trouble that is. But it's as simple as remembering who we are, and more importantly, remembering who God is, to turn our mindset around. Because when I feel that way, I have to remember that, you know what? You can look at me and know that I have not missed many meals in my life. I may not have all the times what I would like to have. But do I have enough and more than enough? Yes, I do. Thank you, Lord. Just earlier this week, I was home with the kids, and I got busy watching something on television, and William was laying on the floor doodling on a book, and he is actually doing so well. He's thriving in school, learning his letters and how to write basic words. And he got real proud and jumps right in front of me while I'm trying to watch something. Daddy, 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 look at this. And it was real easy to get distracted and say, William, sit down, I'm trying to watch something. And I caught myself, it convicted me. So after he sat down, I paused it. I said, William, what was it you wanted to show me? So it's real easy to get distracted because sometimes our agendas or our plans get interrupted by the needs or the excitement of family or friends. And it's real easy to focus on that interruption, when all it takes is a simple adjustment to the mindset to remember, wow, I have children that love me enough to want to show me the things that excite them in life. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a family and friends to share life with. You know, if I were alone, I could probably do whatever I wanted to do without interruption. What kind of life would that be? God has been good, folks. He doesn't owe us anything. And yet if we actually take the time to do what that old hymn says and count our blessings, to count them one by one, what's the rest of it say?
What the Lord has done.
We'd be amazed to see what the Lord has done, wouldn't we? But we like to focus on the negative. And I want to tell you, that's not anything necessarily that we've done bad or wrong intentionally. That is the flesh nature within us. You don't have to turn there, but I was struck thinking about Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read for you just a few verses out of the end of Romans chapter 1. Beginning verse 18, Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed." Well, that already sounds real auspicious, doesn't it? "For the wrath of God is revealed." You know you're getting into some exciting territory here. But listen, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Well, that's a really dark ending to a passage, isn't it? But when you hear that, and you look around at our culture today, doesn't it seem familiar, eerily familiar, unfortunately familiar? It's the world we live in today. And here's the thing, and the reason I bring this up is, what strikes me is so often we read a passage like that and we look at that laundry list of things, particularly in the last few verses, and we're tempted to shake our fingers at people and say, see, look at how bad they are. Look at how bad the people that do those things are. But we have to go back to verse 18, where it says, the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness. And it says that God gave them over. Folks, people aren't bad because of the things they do. They're bad because of the sin nature within them. We are bad because of the sin nature within us. And were it not for the grace of God in saving us from that sin nature, we would be in that laundry list. That laundry list is not a measure of the bad things people do. It's not that's how evil someone is. It's that's where sin nature eventually and inextricably takes us. The things we see in our culture around us are not marks of how evil the nature has become. They're marks of how much God has let people go to their own sinful bent because they continue to rebel against God. And so with that in mind, did you hear what the first mark, one of the first marks of this was? We think about that last little bit. The unmerciful, the unloving, the undiscerning, the disobedient to parents. But did you hear this? Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Unthankfulness is one of the first marks of ungodliness. Because if we understand who God is, then we understand rightly what God owes us. Which is what? Nothing. And if God owes us nothing and yet provides us anything, what should we be?
Thankful.
And so, Do you think our culture is marked by a spirit of thankfulness? No. We have a lot of people that have, as it says, professing to be wise, they became fools. And you know, we're me too. I'm real quick to quote that verse, especially when I think of what goes on in academia today. You know, the fact that nowadays we can't seem to tell the difference in male and female because we've gotten so wise we don't know the difference between boys and girls. Professing to be wise, they've become fools. But you know what? That same thing applies to us when we fail to be thankful. Because if I feel like I should have something, or I should be experiencing something, and therefore I'm complaining about it, then I've made myself wiser than God, who gives all things. And God should have known that I needed this. Well, I've just professed to be wise, but what does that make me? A fool. A fool. What does God owe me?
Nothing.
Nothing. What do I owe God?
Everything.
And yet we have an unthankful culture, and it has even crept into the church among God's people. And that's why, particularly at this time of year, I needed to be reminded this week. And I want us to be reminded that for the people of God, Thanksgiving is more than a holiday. Thanksgiving is a way of life. Because look at Psalm 107 again that we just read. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Do we really believe that? It's real easy to say that when things are going well, right? We sing that song, God on the Mountain. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. He goes on to say, it's when you're down in the valley that faith is put to the test. When things aren't going your way. When the bank account is slim. When health is fragile. When there's enmity and strife in your family and in your friendships. Is God still good? Does His mercy endure forever? When you feel like you've taken all that you can take and endured all that you can endure. No matter what we feel, the Word of God is true. Yeah. And the Word of God says He is good and His mercy endures forever. And it goes on to say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But brothers and sisters, how often do we go days, weeks, and even longer out in the world never mentioning that we are the redeemed of the Lord, never giving thanks for what the Lord has done for us? Just living life as though it's a status quo. We're just one like everyone else. But if you are the redeemed of the Lord, are you like everyone else out there? No, we're not. We've been bought with a price. And he points to that. Now this psalm was written... It's assumed by most scholars that this psalm was written as a response to the restoration after Judah was brought back from exile. So historically, there is a significance here. But God's word is applicable and true to every generation. So He says, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Our enemy is Satan. And thank God he has no dominion over me anymore. And gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And we think, well, those are kind of vague generalities. Well, really what Scripture means is gathered from everywhere, right? But we can look at it here. How many of you are from south of here? Yeah. How many of you are from west of here? How many of you are from east of here? How many from north? How many aren't answering because you just don't feel like participating this morning? Because I know we got people from all over that have been brought to this place. And you might think that it was a career that brought you here. You might think that it was family that brought you here. But you know who brought you here? If you're a member of Hatfield First Baptist Church this morning, do you know who brought you here? God brought you here. He redeemed you for a purpose and brought you into this body because wherever you were before, you didn't have a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Did you ever have a time in your life where you just felt unfulfilled that you needed to find that thing? And yet you come here and you find a place. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Folks, is that your testimony this morning? That you cried out to the Lord in your distress, suffering under the yoke of sin, and He saved you and redeemed you and brought you to a place, maybe brought you to here for now, but you know what? Praise God, this isn't my final city either. He's leading me by His Spirit along the right way, and one day I'll be in a city not made with hands. Does He owe me that? And yet He's done it for me anyway. And so the psalmist in light of that says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Do you hear the desperation in the psalmist there? Just wishing, praying that, oh, people, wake up. Give thanks to the Lord. Tell the world what the Lord has done. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He goes on and says, for He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Folks, has your hungry soul been filled? It's pretty easy to fill a hungry tummy. Not so easy to fill a hungry soul. But a hunger that I had could only be filled by one. And that was with the peace that the Lord spoke to my heart when He said, you belong to me. These next verses are basically a testimony of salvation. Those who sat in darkness in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons. And He goes on and says why they were afflicted. Why they were sitting in darkness in the shadow of death. Keep in mind the prophet says those who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Folks, before we met Jesus, we were all in darkness. If you don't know the Lord, you might not recognize it yet, but I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will let you know that you're walking in darkness and show you that great light that is Jesus Christ. But those of us who truly know the Lord know that we were once in darkness. Once we were blind, but now we see. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all need to wake up. I'm saying let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So speak up today. Has the Lord been good?
Yes.
Okay. Bound in affliction of irons. Why? Because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Folks, that was us. That we may not feel like, boy, I don't remember rebelling against God. I don't remember despising His word. The sin nature within us rebelled against everything God stood for. With everything in us, we despised the word of the Most High. And we did that by nature. You know that, right? You see it in kids, right? I think it was Wednesday night. I was talking about the fact that when all the babies were little, we put up gates to like the one room they couldn't go in. They had the whole house they could crawl through. Just don't go in the laundry room because there's bleach and stuff in there that you don't need to drink. What was the one room they wanted to go in? The one with the gate. It's the same thing for us today. We look at, so many look at the Bible and say, well, God just says you can't have any fun. No, He doesn't. He says you can enjoy all of creation, but here are healthy boundaries. Don't do this. And what do we want to do?
That.
You can eat of every tree except for that one. And what'd they go for? And we still do it today. We rebel against God. We despise His word. And that brings us into darkness and in the shadow of death, and we're bound in affliction and irons. But therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Folks, that's the power of Holy Spirit conviction. To bring our heart down with labor, to make us desperate for a remedy that we can't find. David talks about it in another psalm. It says, the pangs of death surrounded me. Y'all know the conviction of the Holy Spirit is a gracious gift of God. Oh, it's a painful thing. But it is a gracious thing. So therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And that was the end, right? No. And he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Folks, have your chains been broken? Were you sitting in darkness, but now you've seen a great light? Is the Lord good? And so he says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Folks, God has been good to me. And day after day, I find myself falling victim to that temptation of the flesh to focus on that which I'd like to have, or that which he says I can't have, that's what I want. And focusing on that instead of counting the blessings. I focus on this little area of paradise that I seem to be barred from, and ignore the vastness of God's blessing. We must beware against the temptation of becoming unthankful. Because the Lord redeemed my soul from death and from hell. And every day that I wake up, it's a blessing. May not feel like it right when I wake up. I'm not a morning person. But every day that I open my eyes, I've been blessed. Every breath that I breathe, I've been blessed. Every morsel of food, every drink of water that touches my tongue, I've been blessed. Every relationship that I have, every bit of love that I am able to soak in from others who, for whatever reason is unknown to me, choose to love me despite myself, I am blessed. But if all that stopped today, if the Lord took away everything from me today, would I still be blessed? Yes, I would. Because by His grace, through faith, I'm bound for a city not made with hands. And where the Lord in His wisdom, and keep in mind it's His wisdom, I may think I know what I need and what I deserve, and I profess to be wise. God knows what I need. God knows what I deserve. And if God, in His wisdom, took my wife away from me today, I could choose to be unthankful, or I could choose to remember that there's a great blessing that one day I'll see her again. Because of His grace, He saved her also. And by His grace, we're both headed to a place where we would never have to part again. It's a matter of mindset. What do we focus on? Do we focus on the here and now, the things that are eventually going to burn up anyway? Or is our mindset focused on those things which are eternal, which are God's goodness and His mercy and His wonderful works toward the children of men? Are you thankful today?
Amen.
God is good. And you can say it all the time. It seems cliche, but it's not cliche. God is good and His mercy endures to all generations. You know what all generations is? All the time. So God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Are we thankful all the time? Or are we waiting for a holiday? Folks, for the people of God, Thanksgiving is a way of life. It's more than a holiday. And so I want to challenge us to go beyond that. The scripture we read this morning says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I don't know if any of you will feel so led or not, but I just felt compelled to give you the opportunity this morning to continue the sermon. I want to open the floor. If there's anybody here who just wants to stand and give thanks to God for something, to give testimony, just to stand and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't feel frightened or shy. If you're not led of the Lord to speak, then don't. But if you are, don't let the fact that, well, I just don't talk good or I don't have anything good to say or anything like that stand in your way. Because here's the thing, the Spirit of God sometimes moves through the testimony of a faithful servant more than through the preacher.
Amen. Thank the Lord for saving my soul. He brought me here. He would take me on. God bless him. I love him today.
Amen. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Anyone else?
I don't know why he keeps blessing me, but I keep waking up every morning and making it till the next morning.
Amen.
Kneel before his altar in his presence and thank him.
Amen. I want to thank God for saving the rich like me and lowly and giving a new life.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for my family. I thank you, Father, for showing me my sin and helping me overcome it. Thank you, Father, for taking me through that wilderness, Lord, and bringing me out the other side. Father, I know you now because of what you've done, and I thank you, Father, for including me. Thank you, God, for including me. Thank you, God, for everything. Thank you, Lord, for my church family. Thank you, Father, for my family. Thank you, Father, for what I have and what I don't have. I thank you, Father, for you, just being you. I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Any others? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
I just want to praise the Lord. I'm sorry, I just want to praise the Lord for all the things He's brought me through in the last year that when they were first brought to my attention, I was like, oh, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And He's bringing me through every step of the way with all kinds of things. And I'm not afraid of the year to come. He's got me and he's
I consider to be problems and troubles, and then He shows me where it was His plan all along to protect me keep you going. So always remember that anything that happens, the Lord has a reason.
Amen.
I want to thank the Lord for my salvation, and I want to thank the Lord for that, hearing that baby back there, Doug Ramsey, and he's here with us today.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for, I can't even begin to thank him for all that he has done for me and all that he has carried me through. I have no words, but I thank him for my salvation. I thank God for God who seemed to it. That we were raised in church to love him. And he has just blessed me. I thank the Lord for my family and friends, and his whole church is my family, like Jim said. We're my baby. I love y'all. Thank you. God bless you. And happy Thanksgiving.
Amen.
I'm very thankful for my family. We have four sons. We raised them in this church. And they're all active in the churches where they live, scattered around Texas and the North Arkansas. And they all praise the Lord.
Amen. Judy and I are so grateful to God for what he does for us, what he has done, and for this congregation in our past. I don't have words really to say how much it means to us. And as Ronnie said, to have an extended family is also in the Lord. We can't help you. There's no way.
Amen. Any others?
I thank the Lord for not giving up on you.
Isn't it a blessing to hear from others, though?
Amen.
I'm telling you, that's why at the end of every service I say our hearts and minds clear, because I know the Lord may want to speak through someone else. What a blessing. Any others? Well, you know what? If you all won't object, I know we had an invitational song. I just feel like we need to just go ahead and dismiss with prayer, with Thanksgiving prayer. Is that okay with y'all?
Yes.
You mind if I break from the bulletin? I do want you to know, you know, if you're not, and I'm not saying if you didn't speak that you're not thankful. But if thankfulness is not in your heart because you don't know the Lord like you need to, seek Him. If you're sitting in darkness in the shadow of death, He can break your chains too. Seek the Lord. But you can do that today, boy. If you did that between now and Thanksgiving, you'd have a whole new thing to praise the Lord for on Thursday night. So, just pray for the Lord to continue His work among us. Let's stand together. We'll just be dismissed like this. I just feel like that's the thing to do. Before we get dismissed, does anyone else have a word on your heart from the Lord? Are all hearts and minds clear? Remember our community service tonight at 6 down at Christ Church at Cove. I hope many, if not all of you, will join us for that. It'll be a good time in the Lord together. If there's nothing, I'll dismiss this. Lord, thank you has been the prevailing theme of today. And yet, still, we couldn't ever say it enough, Lord. There is not gratitude enough to express appreciation for who you are and for all you've done. Lord, you are God. You are all wisdom, all power, all knowledge, all understanding, all love, all mercy. You owe us nothing. sinful, rebellious curves. And yet, Lord, you loved me enough to save me, and many here have the same testimony. Lord, help us to make thanksgiving a way of life. And Lord, help us to be those who will let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We may have thanksgiving in our heart, Lord, but help us to express our thanks in a way that we give testimony, that we give witness to the goodness of God which endures to all generations. Lord, help us to particularly today see that thanksgiving is way more than a holiday, and to make it a way of life through which we give glory to you and exalt Jesus Christ. Lord, send us from here a thankful people, ready to give glory at all times to you, the only one worthy of glory and honor and praise. Not for us, Lord, but for your glory, for your honor. And because we love you for all that you've done, you are good. Thank you, Lord.